Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, my talkers. We're hanging out with Lori and Julia on this Thursday afternoon. At some point in time, we're going to be giving you guys some Janet Jackson tickets, so listen in for that opportunity. But until then, what is in store for us?
Well, I was just going to say, Lea Michele, if you're on the other side of the hour with us, she's not going to be starring in Andrew Lloyd Webber's retelling of Cinderella called Bad Cinderella, because it is closing its doors after just 4 short months.
Whoa. Oh, has it been open that long?
Yes, it officially opened March 23rd.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And it's officially closing, and the critics hated it. Entertainment Weekly called it bibbidi bobbidi basic. The New York Times said the title warned us. Bad Cinderella.
Yes.
The New York Post called it a dumpster fire, and on and on and on. So it's closing June 4th. The curtain is coming down. It will have had 33 shows.
Jeez.
Bad Cinderella.
Well, and
I feel bad for Linda Carter, because I just love her. Great to follow.
Was she in this
on Insta? No, but she invested $700,000 in this show.
Uh-oh.
That did Who else not invested off. In it?
She was the
primary investor.
Not the primary, but mm-hmm. She was the name that was was out loud about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, got to get to this news. I was crushed.
I was so sad, and I think a lot of people will be,
We're just getting over, like, Jerry Springer last week and all these other. Now, Jackie Zeman, who I like to call Nurse Bobby from General Hospital. Yeah, Bobby. Bobby from GH died at the age of 70. She was on that show for 40 years. 40 years. And I mean, that was my show.
Back in the day.
General Hospital really was like a good show to watch if you need to take a break from homework.
And they would show it in the RHDC at UMD.
Yes.
They would play it, and everyone would go into this public thing and watch Luke and Laura and the Ice Princess and everything that was going on back in the 80s.
And she graduated. She started taking dance when she was a kid. She just had these beautiful long legs. She graduated high school at 15, studied dance at NYU, and then she was a Playboy bunny for a period of time in the early 70s, and she had a non-porn role. She's billed as Office Girl in Deep Throat.
Are you kidding?
No, and then she got cast on
General Hospital in 1977.
That's right. And she was, remember, her storyline was, first of all, she's Luke, as in Luke and Laura. She's Luke's younger sister.
Yes.
And she was a teenage prostitute, Julia.
Yes. Yes.
And she was the younger sister of Luke, and she came to Port Charles after she had to give up her baby. And then for adoption. And she was a regular until 2010. Then she left for 3 years and she came back. But she ends up becoming a nurse. She slaps a lot of people in the face. She is the person, her character gets Richard Simmons on the show.
Mm-hmm.
She starts working out at his aerobic studio.
Right.
That's how Richard
got into.
And Rick Springfield puts out a statement today, because he was Dr. Noah Drake. He was the dreamboat doctor on General Hospital for just a couple of years. He said she was, and Rick is 73. He said, such a truly kind soul. And she only had sweet things to say about people. She was the one, along with Gloria Monty, who created General Hospital, who helped launch my 80s career, when after the screen test, along with several other hopeful young men, Gloria asked Jackie who she thought, because they were like the same, who would make a good Noah Drake, and God bless her if Jackie didn't say me specifically.
Yeah, nice.
So,
yes.
Anyway,
I know.
She really did know how to slap somebody. She had lots of great slaps. She started out, yeah, I mean,
and she had a short illness with cancer, right? Yeah. Is that how she passed? Yeah.
And I feel like she had a very dramatic scene when she found out her husband cheated on her, you know, like with
Who is she with? Give me the
names. The girl who ends up being her daughter that was adopted for adoption.
It's such a soap opera story.
Your husband is banging the daughter that you gave up for, you know, 18 years ago. Heartbreaker.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. But she was married to this New York City DJ called Murray the K, which I know Donnie has talked about that guy. Because he was like the hot DJ in New York in the 70s. And she married this other guy. A couple years, they were married just a year, and then she was married to her third and final husband. They were married a good long while, and they have two daughters, but they did end up getting divorced. But people are really, really sad about the soap opera world, and I just remember, you know, Bobby, she was a memorable character.
She had red hair.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She was memorable in the way Judith Light was memorable as Karen on One Life to Live. She was also a hooker.
With a heart of gold. She was a hooker. You're so right.
And Billy Ray Tuttle. Billy Clyde Tuttle, who was her pimp.
And he was married to
Christine Baranski. And he's like from some wealthy New York City family.
And he played like a trailer trash guy.
He was the pimp.
Yeah, he was.
This memory, you guys are just...
No, this was... The soap stuff?
The soaps were such a big part of our life. Again, we had four networks.
Yeah, and in college...
And we just watched everything.
You know, that's why, like, when MTV, I came along, like, I remember... Didn't it debut, like, at midnight? Or I mean, we were so excited. We were like, what? We're going to get music news and music videos 24/7? Sign us up. Oh, yeah.
What was the first ever video on MTV?
Video killed the radio star. Sledgehammer. Buggles.
Yeah.
That's a great trivia.
And Sledgehammer was right after or something. Sledgehammer.
Was that the next one? I think so. Good one, Jules.
No, he didn't do it. Was by someone else. Whatever.
It's time for random thoughts. So now we're going to learn a whole bunch of whatever.
It 100, and some may be true and some may not. We'll be right back.
Remember that one time on Jason and Alexis?
My nephew, Carter.
Yeah.
We have nothing in common. That kid likes to shoot, what is it called? Skeeter? Cooter sheet? Cooter shooter or whatever?
Cooter? What? Skeeter cooter shooter? What? Cooter shooter? That? No. Sounds like a something else.
No.
Is it a drink at gay 90? Jason and Alexis in the morning. Listen live 6 to 9 or anytime on the MyTalk website or app.
Carpet and tile and hardwood. Oh my! I'm doing the Wizard of Oz thing, Julia.
There you go.
For hammer nicks.
Well, you know, replacing old flooring is one of just a great way to update your home, update the value of your home if you're thinking of selling your home.
This is true,
big time. But also just update it for yourself, because I feel like a lot of times people
put in their new floors and then they move out of their house and they're like, why didn't they put in that carpet or flooring?
And why not just enjoy your floors, because the technology and all the new floors and the beautiful colors and the, you can just have such pretty things that you never would. We used to, when growing up, have very, very dark carpets that we raked. Yeah. If you remember the day, but diarrhea browns and navy blues just to hide the dirt.
Hide the dirt and the
stones. And everything. Yeah. So there's such great, beautiful light carpeting for every room in your home, and carpet just feels luxurious on your feet in bedrooms. And in some living rooms and space, people love it. Hammernix is a great, great, great place to go shop for all your flooring needs.
Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
All right, that's all it is. Big news for Peloton riders, because this could affect you in a very serious way. serious dangerous way, but there is.
Do you really call it riding when it's stationary? I'm just curious.
Yes, because they're watching a screen that could take them on a ride, a journey.
That was just a curious question, but yes, I guess you are pedaling.
Yes, if you, they recall 2.2 million exercise bikes. Uh-oh. And if you have this one, the PL01 Peloton bike, and it looks like the one my sister has, I texted her and purchased it between January of 18 to 2023. They're recalling them because the seat post can break during use, which could cause a fall. You could hit your jaw. You could break your arms. You could break your hands, fall on things.
I mean, imagine. Go in a delicate area.
It could.
Major trauma to all that delicate thing.
Exactly. And you should.
But 2018, like.
You should immediately stop using the recalled exercise bikes and contact Peloton for a free repair.
This is their second time they've had a recall a badge. That's a big year span.
This is the last one was for the treadmills. This is for the bike. They're offering consumers a free seat post that can be self-installed.
So, I think the treadmill had a kid problem with it. It was trapping children and killing them. Yes. Yeah.
Right, let's be real. Never a good luck.
No. Okay. Nope.
All right. So you just basically get a new seat
post. And you just put it in yourself. And they've got them all ready for you. Right. It is asparagus season.
Another reason, Grant, for us to not ride a pellet.
That's right.
There you go. Asparagus season is right now, people. The best asparagus, while it's year-round, the best time to have asparagus is April and May and might because of some things going on being early June, too. So people love asparagus.
Mm-hmm. What's your fresh asparagus tip? How do you keep it good in the refrigerator?
Great call.
How do you do
Someone call us, 651-641-1071. I know a good way to cook it in foil.
Me too.
With butter.
Oh, that's how I do it.
And on the grill with a little bit of seasoning.
Yes.
It's just fresh. Then how long?
It depends on if you like it chewy or if you like it crunchy. I like mine crunchy, so I cook it a little less.
Yeah.
You know, cook it a little longer if you want it softer.
I think it's you cut off the bottom. And you just, if you're not going to eat them that day, you like stand them upright in a glass of water.
I've never heard that.
I feel like I saw Stephanie Hansen do this on Jason's show.
Well, we're going to find out. People are calling, so they were going to tell us.
Let's get our caller on right now. She had a really good idea, if you don't mind. Let's take this one.
All right, who is it?
I didn't catch her name. All right. Caller?
Hello?
Hello, this is Annan. Yes, it is in a glass of water. Keep the rubber band around it. Stored in the refrigerator.
Upright
in the refrigerator. Give it a fresh cut on the bottom.
Okay.
And you get it home. A glass of water in the refrigerator, but keep that rubber band around them.
Okay. Chef's kiss to you, Ann.
That's a good one, Ann.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Look at that.
So my memory is correct. Uh-huh. I do keep up with my daytime talk shows, and I swore I saw Stephanie show that to Jason because she was like getting.
She's here right now, actually, if we want to talk to Stephanie.
Stephanie, are you here? Yeah. Oh, Stephanie. Hi, Steph.
Stephanie, did I just see you do this on Jason's show a couple weeks ago?
You did. Okay. I had a whole thing about asparagus. I made soup from the ends that you snap off.
Okay.
Yes.
I made a tart, but yes, asparagus is stored in a glass of water upright.
Yeah.
And it keeps growing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
I mean,
that's a good tip.
I never knew that because I always wondered what's wrong with these asparagus?
Nothing is wrong with them. You just store them in water until you use them.
Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes if they get limp, because sometimes limp happens.
Yes,
it
does.
You just put them in the sink or like in a pan and fill it up with water and let them sit for like a half hour and they'll plump up again.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
Very good.
Yes. I like this.
The best way to cook asparagus is roasting, I think. Okay. Because it brings out the caramelization and the sugars. But grilling is fine.
All right,
you can also make a simple tart.
Okay, let's talk.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
About roasting.
Yeah, back up just to one thing
and
at
go
a time.
Slow.
I like roasting. I like everything about that word, and okay. I usually like the flavor of roasting.
So let's go slow.
Okay, roasting at 450, get your oven preheated, put your asparagus on a pan, drizzle a little olive oil, salt, and pepper, and just kind of roll them so that they all have a little bit of an oily sheen,
mm-hmm.
and you roast them for about 10 minutes. If
Grant
wants them a little tougher, he can go 8 minutes. Kind of depends on their thickness or if they're the really thick kind.
Yeah, I know. I like the roasting, and I do vaguely remember doing this once.
Lori. And oh my God!
Crack me up. What do you eat?
Well.
Cook. Is this food confessions?
I cook stuff once a week.
You do cook, Julia.
I do.
I know you do.
I
and
do.
Lori, you're a cooker sometimes.
Not really.
Not really. But here, I want to ask you about this. This is why we have delis and Trader Joe's Alburrito Mercado and restaurants and everything else. So. I want to ask you about this theory. Do you think this is true that the rise of Foodmo is now out of control?
What is Foodmo?
That the fear of missing out on trendy food. It used to be FOMO.
100%.
It used to just be FOMO, but now people are fearing. Now they got Foodmo. I can honestly say I don't have this, but as someone who's involved in trendy food, do you have Foodmo? Do you have this?
I literally had it this morning.
Okay, like, with
all
what?
All these new restaurants are opening up, and I'm doing like gardening and cabin things, and so I'm not getting out to see everybody. And yes, I'm like on Instagram looking at like where Steph has been or, all, you know, Maison Margot opened with Chef David Fima and
yes.
I haven't been yet. So I'm just like, oh, yes, total Foodmo happening every day at my
okay.
house.
Okay.
And
so
Foodmo is associated with restaurants.
Food of missing out. It's the fear of missing out on trendy food at, you know, which is usually, let's face it, at the cool restaurants and stuff. And yes, Stephanie, I am excited to go to Maison Margot.
Same.
I don't usually like get excited about any kind of a restaurant, but this I'm excited about.
I mean, what's not to love about French food, pommes frites, mm-hmm. David Fima and his joie de vivre and a French 75.
Come it on. Sounds so good.
And then the whole way that they restored and kept the building, which used to be the Ribnik Sphere.
Yes.
So it's going to feel like Soho or something, but in Paris, but in Minneapolis.
And they have like lots of apparently cute little cozy nooks.
That's right.
Also kind of fun.
Lovely.
That's right. So you can wear nylons and cross your legs at the appropriate time, people.
Don't listen
nylons,
to her, Stephanie. Do not listen to her.
Well, you know, a nylon
like
can be, yeah, it can be a thigh high.
I did come across
rolled,
a,
oh, yeah, Lord. You know, I mean, men love nylons, hosiery, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Garters.
You remember
stockings?
We actually used to wear those.
I found
the day, like
I found
at work
a garter the other day.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
But Stephanie, sometimes you know what we still do where people wear tights. I mean, there are still times when a good, you know,
hosiery
will just be the
foundation,
right thing,
as it were.
Will be the right thing. And you know what? I noticed that people are wearing them again. Like in the fashion world.
I got back from Vegas and I saw so many skin tight cat suits. It was horrifying.
Yeah, I know it. Viva La Vulva is going on all over the place. People are wearing entirely too much athleisure outside of their house. It would be, it's like walking down the street in some kind of a hotel bathroom. I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm wondering when it's going to end.
Sweaty?
Yeah.
No. Not good.
Mm-mm. No. Oh, gosh. Honest to Pete. Well, thank you for calling in and clearing that up. And
yes,
that is a great.
Ladies. Sorry I hijacked your
segment. Who cares? No. Thank you. Good. And of course, you can catch the Weekly Dish here every Saturday from 9 to 11 with the Stephanies. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. It's Lori and Julia.
Lori and Julia here to talk divorce once again with Ann Tressler from Tressler Law. The topic of timing comes up. Is there a right time to get divorced? It's so sad anyway, but does this concern other couples?
People do ask me that question. Some people think, I'll wait till the kids are out of school and get their finals and it'll be summer. Or I get the opposite. They say, well, I want to get them back in school and they're in the routine. And so the timing tends to revolve around kids more often than not. And the reality is that for most people, it's simply a personal decision. The only time I say you need to move sooner rather than later is when you're concerned about physical safety of anyone in the family, or you're concerned the other side may be depleting money.
If timing is something that people are worried about, will you be able to address that in the free 1 hour consultation?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, during the consultation, when you're getting more facts about each specific case, that's when you can decide whether or not the timing really is a priority in that particular matter.
For your free 1 hour divorce consultation, call Tressler Family Law. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
After the asparagus from Stephanie, we got, you know, the book club movie part two starts tonight.
Book club, the next chapter.
Thank you. With the gals going to Italy. And
it's better than the first one. It is better than the first one. And as I said to the Mutti, because I'm like, you know, the ladies are going to be on Kelly Clarkson today.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to get her to DVR that in Seattle. And I said, but watch the lady. I said, but Candace Bergen is me. Julia's Mary Steenburgen. Jane Fonda. You know, I said, but better than anything. So, and then, of course, Diane Keaton. But it really is. I love just a fun rom-com.
Easy
thing, but I love it even more if we travel. And I said, Mom, you're going to Rome. You're going to Venice.
Yeah.
There's a bridal salon and an actual real bridal salon in Roma. You see scenery. Then we go to Venice.
I love it.
You take the train and something people might not know.
Oh my gosh.
Grant, is that when you take the train to Venice, what people don't realize is when you come out of the train station, the Grand Canal is right there.
Oh, wow.
Okay, the Grand, just like how sometimes you vaguely remember from a movie. But when you walk out of the train station,
it's amazing.
And there is this canal and there's boats going around and you're like, oh my gosh, this looks just like the movies. But it's so, I can't think of any other train station that comes out, you know, to this big, beautiful.
No.
And I just...
And so you go there, and then you go to Tuscany, and then we have, Don Johnson in it. And it just, like, if you just need something light because maybe your life has felt heavy or the world has felt heavy for you or whatever, this is just a delightful escape. Maybe you're never going to get to Italy or you've never been.
And I think this would be fun to go with your mom.
Sisters, friends, whatever. Yeah.
We loved it. Yeah. We loved it. Beautiful Andy Garcia's in it.
And it's corny in the best way possible.
It is.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it so much. Same. So I think people will enjoy that. And it comes out tonight, I believe, in all movie theaters. And it's called Book Club, the next chapter.
Okay, now I want to hear something TV related to as it relates to Andy Cohen, because even though, I'm a devoted Watch What Happens Live. I'm a fan of Andy Cohen as what he's done creatively. But when I met him personally in person, he was just so mean and awful to me. And we had a genuine reason for connection. So I've always been a bitter
Betty about it, but I can distinguish between the fact, I mean, I've read his books and I'm willing to let him make up to me. Okay.
So his latest book, okay. The latest book is The Daddy Diaries.
Yeah. So he's been everywhere.
Yes, he has. He's been everywhere. So it's his life in 1922, and it starts off after
2022.
Okay. My God. Can you imagine?
Because he wrote like two books back to back.
Yep.
And they were, you know, Dear Diary, A Day in the Life. One was called Superficial. And I forget the, but they were good bestsellers. He even got to make his own imprint.
Mm-hmm. I think. He does have his own imprint. Yeah. So what about this? That is...
So he took a break from writing.
Right, and he adopted Ben, and he woke up one day
Ben is his son. It's
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Not that adopted children are not...
But he had Ben via surrogate, and Ben is now 4 years old, but when he wrote the book, he just was turning three.
Yes.
And then he decided that he wanted to have a sister, because he wanted always to be a family, and so...
Because Andy has a sister.
Yeah. He's got an older sister, Emma. I think Emma or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, this book really basically, it's a diary. You can,
isn't it Daddy Diaries, The Year I Grew Up?
Yes. And so you start out on January 1st after they were drunk on CNN doing the New Year's Eve special.
Is Andy reading to you?
Yes.
How do you like that?
Well, it's frenetic. It's frantic.
I didn't like it because I heard it.
But I'm going to tell you, he wants me to DM him and tell him what to think of it.
Okay, fine.
And I think if I could learn how to DM, I might do it.
I'll show you.
But basically, when you're reading it, it's non-stop. And it was the buildup so far. I'm only, you know, it's every day, January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd. But there was so much chaotic crisis going on in the headlines because he pretty much... screamed at the mayor of New York City and did a nice rant on the New Year's Eve special.
Oh, and this past New Year's Eve?
The one before,
and he kind of got drunk, and he said New York City sucks or something like that.
The mayor does.
It made me miss Kathy Griffin and Anderson Cooper. I didn't feel like it's... I still don't think it's a good fit for those two together on New Year's Eve. They did make it make sense. No one can.
So basically what
does he say he's going to keep doing it?
Well, I'm not. I'm only to February 16th
now. All
and it's last year, Lori.
Right.
So it's last year. So I'm going through his.
Has he dished anything?
Well, let me just talk for one half a second. All right. Do I need tape?
What?
Tape.
No.
So what you learn in it's a day at a time with Andy Cohen, and he does so much in a day, it would make me sick. Okay, literally. Because he does so much in a day. You know, he wakes up, he spends the time on the floor with Ben, then he does this, and then he goes to shoot pre-tape this to watch what happens.
So you don't like it because it is daily diary minutiae.
No, but what I'm learning is about, you know, at this point in time, it was time for the Salt Lake City women to have their reunion, and Mary Cosby decided she doesn't want to show up.
That's right. She pulled a Lisa Vanderpump and did a no-show.
And before that, it's an aloof. When Adrian Maloof didn't show up, if we can really go back to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That's right.
And so he talks about, you know, she's telling him, well, we'll see if I'm going to show up. And he's like, well, dude, you know, you kind of got to show up, but that's going on. And then he's gearing up to get his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And John Mayer is going to be the person
presenting.
And he talked about how tight the restrictions are. And how he'd just been on Jimmy Kimmel, and Jimmy Kimmel ruined his whole buzz about getting a star because Jimmy said, well, the microphones don't work. It's too frenetic. You know, it's not that big of a deal. And so it ruined his buzz.
Yeah.
So then he's going to the Polo Lounge with his family to have the $45 salad that we had. And they don't like gays.
Yeah,
and
right.
So then we're going back and he's, you know, it's name drop, housewife drop, name drop.
But
flying, doing, canceling.
I'm trying to get a sense of how you feel about this.
I can't decide yet
book.
Because
you've mentioned one thing over and over and over, day by day, hour by hour. But I'm only on February 16th.
But in one day, Lori, he will have.
Oh, I believe it.
He talked about, you know, when the whole thing was going down with the Beverly Hills Housewives in Aspen. And they had the night, and how Lisa Rinna really wanted to talk to him about Kathy Hilton. Uh-huh. And he's like, and then something got leaked to TMZ.
Yeah.
And he
called Lisa Rinna.
And he said, I called Lisa and she promised me she didn't do it. Uh-huh. And he's like, I don't understand why these housewives like to leak so much information.
Yeah.
He says it doesn't serve them anything. And then he said, we have no footage at all about this night.
But
and yet Lisa Rinna
didn't believe that. That's how you know she was the leaker to TMZ. He's basically telling us that because she really believed that Bravo had secret microphones right on them.
But the two housewives that showed up when he got his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Garcelle and Rinna.
Mm-hmm.
And Rinna had to leave because she had to do a taping with Crystal over a lunch. But he was good friends with her.
Yeah, I know.
So I think
she stayed on that show longer than she probably mm-hmm. would have because he genuinely
liked her.
Got a kick out of her until
the Kathy Hilton thing, I think, really turned it. Then it was done. She was just too much.
Yeah, but it started with her with Yolanda is when she got, you know, she did the whisper campaign about Munchausen and tried to portray, you know, she's the one who started that. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, maybe Lisa Vanderpump was also involved. I mean, all of them always, there's never just one person drawing the thing. But I remember just thinking, I don't know if I like that she's Googling this right now and wondering out loud about what's going on when Yolanda has had kind of a yo-yo health thing. I just never like weight speculation or illness speculation.
And then Julia. He drops in Cher.
Oh,
you know, Cher just texted him and he does
I love
Cher
that. I love that.
So he is friends with everybody.
Yeah.
And he knows everybody. And then he was going over to SJP's mm-hmm. and he's having, you know, the play date with Anderson Cooper and his kids every Saturday and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And he was like a producer. Like he got out of college and he got a good, he knew somebody
CBS
who
morning.
Knew somebody and mm-hmm. He became a junior producer, and I mean, that's when you learn everything.
He's good
everything.
At what he does.
Yeah,
he
that's when you learn at everything. Can you break it, or do you need someone holding your hand the whole damn way? And he figured it out, and he was like, he and Carol Radziwill both worked at CBS or together, or ABC.
Carol worked at ABC. He worked at CBS.
Yeah, but he worked with Dan Rather as a junior producer, and so he's cut
really
his teeth on all kinds of things. And then he's made this whole entertainment juggernaut
on Bravo. And he's talking about how he was just in a cabaret and he was trying to figure out what to do with New York housewives.
Yeah.
And he just had this epiphany brain thing. And he says, I'll divide it into two. We'll keep the old school and then we'll have a new fresher group.
Yeah.
You know, and that all blew up. But
yeah.
So this is what is going on.
All right. Well,
it's dishy, dishy, dishy.
All right. Tell us anytime you want.
But really,
I don't know if I'm going to read this book
you
or
won't.
Not.
You won't. And then you feel like he's starting to question his drinking. And if you've noticed how much what happens live, he has water now.
Yeah. So because he's a dad and he's got a busy schedule, I suppose.
I would just be exhausted with this schedule. But if you could, you know, text Cher and go to SJP's house and go to Kelly and Mark's. I mean, he really is, you know,
He's a connector.
He's a connector.
He's a connector.
Anyway, Data Diaries.
All right, listen, we got to go. We'll
be right back.
Hey, everybody, Lori and Julia here for First Equity, the number one best mortgage team that you are going to want on your side. I saw, I think it was Vicky Chen on the Today Show yesterday, and like the new average balance on credit cards is like, I mean, the interest is 24%. And so her number one thing was if you do have any equity in a home is to pay that off, because
absolutely
it just doesn't make any sense. And she said you just have to find the right person or right company to work with. And she was strongly against using any national thing and working with the local company. And I'm like, good for you, Vicky Chen.
Yes. And
you know,
we have
someone with First Equity.
It's an amazing local business that's been in the business for a long time, that know all the ins and outs of what's going on in the mortgage world and will help you. They just are so great. Keyword David at my top.
I have just Hollywood spoken Andy Cohen reading his own book.
Because it's
you
not.
He can't fake his own boredom. He's already lived it. He's written it. And now he's got to read it.
And he tells you at the beginning that I hate doing this.
Yes, and it comes through. So I'm going to read this book because I don't want...
I'll tell you if you should.
Yeah, you can tell me if I should. But yeah, that's an interesting thing that... like you said, Matthew McConaughey was very good at reading Green Lights, and Jessica Simpson read her Audible. Prince Harry...
I couldn't stand it.
But Prince Harry is not an actor, and...
Andy Cohen is. I feel like...
They're not. It's too boring to tell your own story out loud again when you've lived it, written it, finessed edited it, thought about it, had therapy about it. Your own boredom is going to come through.
But and then he's just going to read it so fast that you just don't. It's yeah. Like, I feel like I do not like to be yelled at in an audible. Okay.
And the most obvious Hollywood speak story of the day.
Yes.
Kim Zolciak and Craig Berman have, 2 days after the divorce announcement, have unfollowed each other on social media.
Imagine that. I heard that I had Lane like, it's going to be a dirty divorce or something.
I'm Julia, like, this is Captain Obvious stuff two, because anyone who ever even watched Kim on the first season of Real Housewives of Atlanta, when she brought the instant icon status, wig, big papa, swearing, being a single mom, having a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. I mean, she was just like big time. She had BDE, you know. I mean, we'd never seen anybody, you know, like her, but she's a very dramatic person from the moment we met her on reality TV. Everything is...
She's in Atlanta. She was in Atlanta Housewives.
Yeah.
In original.
She became instant. She and NeNe were the breakout of Atlanta, like Teresa was for...
Yes.
So everything, and you know, she's with, you know, this Croy and Bierman, who they meet. And I remember the episode. I was still watching Atlanta. He was competing, Julia, in your version of the Twin Cities ballroom dancing.
Oh,
and he was
dancing
doing
with the
Atlanta.
Stars. Oh, you're
he was
kidding.
Doing the local Atlanta edition. And he was a football, like, I don't think Croy Berman was any great big football player, like by
Brand
name.
Will tell us.
But he was a big enough celebrity that the Atlanta celebrity, they said, would you dance? And, you know, Kim is like 8 years older than Croy, 10 years older than him. And she was at this thing because I think maybe Cherie was dancing.
Okay.
You know, at this thing.
Right.
And Croy was one of the dancers. And I mean, Kim was always, you know, traveling with a solo cup and drinking. And she smoked too, I think. Anyway, she couldn't contain herself because, as we well know, these dancers... And if they're fit and they wear a high-waisted pant, Grant, and then some kind of a little stacked heel and a tucked-in, very tight, you know, shirt that's opened quite a bit, and everybody is, you know, in a dance competition. Look at how you were so glamorous. You look like, you know, you're Carmenita.
It was so fun.
You know, I mean, you had the hair.
I found the DVD this weekend.
You did. So she fell in instant lust with him and vice versa. So you did kind of feel like you knew them as a couple.
Right. At the beginning.
At the beginning. And then, you know, she rode hard for him and vice versa. And he adopted her
Kim Zolciak
kids. They had a wedding. They had an 8-year reality show.
And they owe $1 million+.
Yeah. And everything fell apart. And he wants sole custody. She wants sole custody.
He's blaming their finances on him.
It's going to get messy.
It is.
It's going to get messy because they had huge mess. They were so out loud about how they were going to be. They're going to hate each other as much as they loved each other.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But she could get hired on the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip because
she's fun.
Well, no, I don't know if she'd be fun, but they want to take advantage of where she is at her life, and she owes money.
Ah.
There's a lien on her house. She's got four kids. 12.
Yeah, she's 10, they've got two 8-year-olds.
Yeah. That's a prime of spending as they're growing, you know?
Yeah, just 2 8-year-olds. So anyway, it's going to get, this is going to get must.
This is
a captain.
And where that all started out with the Hollywood speak, as sources say Kim Zolciak divorce is going to get really bad.
Yeah. I mean, that is just,
And when you look back at, like you said, his NFL career started out with a lot of potential. So I'm guessing they hedged a little bit, thinking, hey, this could continue.
Yeah, they invested in things. Because she had a wig line for a while. She tried lips for a while.
Yeah. She started for the party.
She got on Cameo right away. I mean, you know, she's done all kinds of things to her face in exchange for that. Lived very, very large.
Yep. And they continued to do so. And his career dwindled very fast. He tore his Achilles tendon, which kind of like... in 2013, which kind of really set his career back, and he was done within 2 years of that. So he did not make a lot of money making football.
I read a thing on Dumois that they had an open marriage, and I thought, how the hell do you have an open marriage with 7 kids?
No kidding.
You know? Who's got time for that?
I don't know.
And it appeared that neither of them worked at anything other than social influencing.
Yes.
You know, is that such a thing? What do you do for a living? Social influence.
Well, it is. A lot of people make money doing it, but they just couldn't figure it out. Yeah.
But one, he was handling the money, or she, you know, one of them trusted blindly.
Yes.
The other.
And I'm guessing, like you said, some investments were made probably that were bad investments.
All right, move on from this horror. I'm sick of those two.
Really? All right. Tom Hanks admits to being a jerk sometimes on movie sets. You know what? This is something I don't need to know, though.
He's got a book out.
Okay, but...
And so he says, you know, I was jerky, and I don't even know what the book is about, though. He's done so much promotion. I still don't understand. It's the making of movies or something.
No, Julia, it is just... It's a book he wrote, everything happened, and he's going to call it fiction instead of a memoir, and he's going to change all the names, and voila, it's fiction. This is some kind of a memoir. If people want to go down the rabbit hole of finding out all of this, I'm not interested in this at all.
And if you do go down the rabbit hole, send us an email and let us know.
Yeah, let us know. No one gets sued, though. This is what it is. The making of another major motion picture masterpiece. He says it's all fiction, but I think everything in there happened.
He just changed the names.
Change the names and is calling it fiction. So, like, I don't know whether or not to read this. Kind of as
you're never going to read it.
Well,
Lori, look at me.
Okay,
because you already just said I have no interest in this.
Lori, look at her.
Okay. Mano a mano.
He refers to the actors as crybabies, psychological train wrecks on the wagon, alcoholics off the wagon, addicts, sexual harassment. I mean. I don't know.
He's been in the business a long time.
Yeah.
He's seen it all.
I just wonder if that's what's happening here. It's his memoir, disguised as fiction, change the names. Voila.
There you go.
What a lot
of give it a big, long name.
Yeah, the title's too
long.
Give it a name no one can remember. No.